Welcome to Conscious Success, the podcast where we teach you how to master your mind, expand your wealth, and enhance your health. I'm your host, Madhu. I became a celibate monk on my 18th birthday and lived in various monasteries around the world for about half a decade. Once graduating the monkhood, I went from having no possessions to my name to creating successful international businesses, and now I teach many others to do the same. The purpose of this podcast is to give you all this knowledge for free and show you how to implement it into your normal life in a way that you don't have to shave your head and move to India. Today, we're going to be exploring what conscious success is, how do you use it to improve the quality of your life, and what can you immediately implement to make life a little bit easier. If you enjoy what we explore on today's podcast and you want to go deeper into these topics, join our free conscious success community, where not only we explore everything much more in depth, but we have additional resources and courses to go even deeper into these topics. You can join us at the link in the show notes, and I'm really hoping to see you there. Today, I'm joined by my favorite human in the whole entire world, Rati Rasa, who is a holistic nutritionist and personal chef that overcame chronic illnesses at a young age completely naturally and has since helped many, many other individuals all around the world do the same. She also just so happens to be my wife. Hi, Rati.
Hey.
I'm super excited to explore conscious success today, because as we get into this actual podcast itself, the whole purpose of it is to take everything we talk about pretty much on a daily basis, and how can anyone just start to implement it into their life so they can feel a difference? Because usually feeling better in life and improving the quality of life is so much more accessible and easier than most of us believe it to be. And I'm really excited to pick your brain a little bit deeper and make sure that everyone here knows how to become consciously successful.
Cool. I think we should start with you and your monkhood. And how did you become a monk? Why did you become a monk?
Yeah, it's not very typical for an 18-year-old to become celibate, that's for sure. So when I was 8 years old, my sister, my 25-year-old sister, actually died in a car accident. She got hit by a drunk driver. And it put me in a type of existential crisis and shook me to my core. Life as I knew it completely changed, because I was very close with her, and just seeing everyone in my family, the way that it completely changed their life.
And you were 8 years old.
I was 8 years old. Yeah, which is...
8 years old is the time that, you know, cognitively you're starting to become more conscious.
Yeah,
become conscious. You're starting to become more aware of yourself and your self-identity, whereas like 0 to 7 is... that time where
you're building your subconscious mind, or your sponge, you're taking in information from the way you perceive other people respond. You then learn to respond that way. The way other people communicate, you respond that way. But then 8 on, you start to develop a sense of individuality and
autonomy.
Exactly. And so at the ripe age of 8, as I was starting to develop this individuality and this sense of self, I saw just how fragile life was, and I was faced with the reality of death. And it impelled me to want to study philosophy and theology more, like actually understand, like, what is life? What is death? What's the purpose? Why am I even here? What exactly am I? What are people around me? What is this world that I'm living in, et cetera? But because I have reading disabilities, I always struggled in school, and I lived in a small town, so I didn't have a lot of access to different philosophical books and texts and whatnot. So I had all these questions, but whenever I had opportunities to ask them, many people I asked, they would give me answers like, you asked too many questions, or, oh, you should just have faith, don't worry about it, or questions. They would answer my questions in a way that was super unsatisfying. And I always felt like a yearning, like, I don't want to just have faith. I don't want to just take it on you just because you say it, I accept it, or whatever the case might be. Or some people would say, oh, you don't need to know that. It's like, why?
Right.
For sure, the knowledge is there. I want to know it. And so when I was 16 years old, my father actually offered me $100 to read the Bhagavad Gita, a specific version of it called the Bhagavad Gita as it is. For those of you not familiar, the Bhagavad Gita is one of the oldest written literatures we have today on the philosophy of self, divinity, and the world around us. And what it really does is put into perspective who we are as individuals, what is our relationship to spirit, divinity, etc., and then what is our relationship to other people of this world, and then the matter that we live in. And it started to answer not only questions I had, but questions I didn't even know I had over time. And so as I studied this book, I actually loved it so much, I didn't even take the $100, because my life was so positively changed from the content of the Bhagavad Gita. And this was the first book I ever read cover to cover. First book of my life that I didn't put down after two pages because my brain was breaking. But this one, my brain was breaking in a good way. It was everything I was exploring and studying was just so
expansive.
Expansive. That's the word. Yeah. Jinx, you owe me a Olympka. So once I read the Bhagavad Gita, at that point, I realized I don't know a lot. I now know I don't know a lot. And I started to go more towards Eastern spirituality. And I would actually drive 3 to 4 hours to different temples and different ashrams and places that were teaching principles from the Bhagavad Gita. And as I started to meet practitioners, especially monks, I was like, who are these people? You know, shaven head, robes, but there was a sense of peace and a contentment. They didn't have anything. They had robes. They slept in the floor. I often call it, it's like a spiritual frat house. Why are they so happy? And how are they so knowledgeable? Why is it that every question I asked them, it's not like they had to go, let me think about it. I'll get back. They were like, I've got it right here. And let me actually pull up a verse that's thousands of years old that explains this exact same question someone else asked and delineate various types of answers. And my mind was so blown. So I wanted to become a monk, but I was 17 and therefore they wouldn't let me join because I wasn't an adult yet. And so I was going to college at this time. I was in my third semester of college and that was not for me. Nothing against college. Some people enjoy it.
I went to college.
Yes. I'm very happy you did.
I graduated college. Nothing against college.
Nothing against college. It was very much not my calling. Let's put it that way. I was going for anatomy. I was going for occupational therapy and just studying things that, anyway. On my 18th birthday, I dropped out and shaved my head and became a monk and moved into the monastery and did that for about 5 years. If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy, and even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable. Please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well.
So when we tell people a little bit about this story, they're often like, they don't know what being a monk means. And they're often like, so you took a vow of silence? Like, what was that like? Or like, you know, they just have no clue what that side of life could look like. So maybe just expand on that a little bit more, like what being a monk means even in this specific lineage of spirituality.
Yeah, I remember being on a subway once when I was living in New York City in a particular ashram there. And on the subway, this group of people walked up to me and they were like, whoa, man, I bet you could beat all of us up at the same time. Do you sleep on a bed of nails? And there was just this idea of like, and I joked and I was like, yes. And they're like, whoa. I was like, no, I'm just kidding. And I explained what it actually is. Long story short, we would wake up quite early in the morning, 3:34, and then we would immediately go into some congregational meditation, some musical meditation. Then we'd have about 2 hours of private meditation, followed by a class on the study of bhakti yoga or the ancient philosophy from the ancient wisdom literatures from the East. From there, everyone would be engaged according to their natures and psychophysical propensities. And so we would eat, by the way, that was my favorite part of the day, we'd have breakfast. But then after that, we would clean up a little bit. And then the people who like to cook, they would go to the kitchen and cook for not just us, but we would distribute. We fed so many different types of people as a charity. I like to teach. And so I like to teach the philosophy that I was studying. And so we go to universities and teach meditation, etc. And everyone would be engaged according to their nature in a particular way. And then we get back together in the evening, do some additional meditation together. Eat some dinner in some cases and then go to bed and then redo it again every day. And so the whole purpose of the day is half of it spent for our own internal fortification, like actually understanding what we're doing and practicing it. And ultimately it means controlling the mind because you can either be your mind's boss or your mind's bitch, and how to not be controlled by the mind, how to actually control it yourself. And half of the day was for our own practice, and then the other half is trying to give that towards others in our own ways, whatever ways we could, given one's propensities and psychophysical nature.
So it was actually, it sounds like it was really personalized. You guys were able to follow you know, what worked for you. Like you said, you know, some monks, they liked to cook, so they went into the kitchen. So what things did you like to teach?
Well, I'm a big fan of Ayurveda, which is one of the oldest holistic sciences we have in the world. And I got an autoimmune disease, and Western science wasn't incredibly helpful. Everyone just said, good luck and deal with this for the rest of your life. And I wasn't into that. And so I went to different types of practitioners, holistic practitioners. And when I found an Ayurvedic practitioner, not only were they able to diagnose exactly what I have without me even talking to them, they just looked at my eyes, looked at my tongue, and read my pulse. They were like, oh, you're struggling with X, Y, and Z. And it was like, how?
What?
It took me actually years to even believe that was a real thing. I was like, what is this fluke stuff that they're doing? Mm-hmm. Just my skeptical nature. But I started to do the protocol, the Ayurvedic protocols, and it completely revolutionized my health. I mean, I actually had to, for a stint, I had to move back in with my parents for about a few weeks because I couldn't even be in the monastery because no one there could probably take care of me. So we actually had to get my parents to help take care because I was in such a terrible situation with my health. Mm-hmm. So I started myself to experience the benefits of Ayurveda. And after doing that, it was like, I need to learn the science. I got to go deep into it. So I started studying the practices of Ayurveda, both in India as well as different places here in America. And that's really where I found my groove per se. And so even as a monk, I was teaching holistic health, I was teaching mindfulness and mindset, teaching meditation, yoga, etc. And then even after graduating the monastery, that's still what I did for some years, even though I still practically made as much as I did while being a monk. You may remember.
Right. Yeah. So when we were a newer couple and we were living in this like small, dingy,
we call it the dungeon,
rented basement space.
Well, let me just clarify.
Yeah.
I met my beautiful wife actually while I was a monk, but it was just a kosher relationship. But after graduating the monastery, that's when we got back in touch. And
I was in school.
Yeah.
He was trying to sustain on doing what he loves to do. He was traveling around doing meditation, and Ayurveda, mindset, things like that.
But not making any money.
But not making any money from it. And so, yeah, we were barely getting by.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was definitely rough. Like I remember this one, I really wanted to get this lavender bundle. And I run an apothecary. And so I'm like all about like flowers and herbs, and I wanted to get this dried lavender bundle, and it was $18. And we got into a huge fight. He was like, how could you spend this much money on something so stupid? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I want this lavender bundle. Like, it was this huge fight. And I mean, just keep that in mind, $18. Like, that's where we were at.
Yeah. We were rationing zucchini. So literally.
Yeah.
So again, I would travel to try to make a little donations. I'd come home with practically nothing. We were staying in a place, we jokingly call it the dungeon. It was a friend's basement that we got to live in exchange for some service.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we call it the dungeon because it had two windows. Both were garden level with about a foot by 2 feet.
It was so dark down there. No fire escape. It was bad. Yeah. Yeah.
And
probably illegal.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Illegal. So anyway, don't tell us. But, and we would ration zucchini. I remember we would cut the zucchini in half. We're like, okay, this is like, we'll eat this with some like rice for lunch and we'll do the other half for dinner. And we were so below poverty. I mean, I was probably bringing in about $1,500 a month, if that.
If that, for sure. Yeah. And I was cleaning houses just to get like, anyway. Yeah.
So that didn't work. And fortunately, after 2.5 years of that, you actually encouraged me. You were like, Madhu, you've got all this great potential. Why are you not doing more with it? I mean, in a very loving way.
Well, actually, I think that we should tell the story of how that happened. So we were in this situation, and to anybody from the outside looking in, it's like, how could you live that way? That's rough. And we were rough in it. And we went to India because we go to India every year. And during this time period in India, we were in this really gorgeous place called the Govardhan Eco Village, and we met up with some friends there. One of our friends is a business coach, and so we were just kind of like talking to her about some things. You know, obviously Madhu's trying to figure out how to make more money, and anyway, long story short, you know, they got to talking and connecting a little bit more. By the time we got home, Madhu was in a little bit more communication with her, and she was like, why don't you do this group program I'm doing? It's only $250.
And I said, $250? I could never afford. What are you talking about, $250?
Right.
I should also name, too, that this was right after the first time in my life I actually made decent money, where I finally launched my first India pilgrimage. And for the first time in my life, I'd made a chunk of change. And it was the first time I went, oh, wait, maybe I can make money. Maybe I don't have to struggle.
Mm.
Maybe I can be spiritual and also make good money. So I my mind had become open to the idea of like, okay, maybe I could make some more money. She said 250. And I looked at my bank account. I remember because for the first time I had $4,000 to my name, which was like, this is insane. Like everything I had needed to be paid off was paid off.
Right.
We're home. And it's like,
yeah.
Wow. And yeah, I was like, there's no chance. I can't afford it. And she followed up 2 to 3 times. And finally I was like, fine. She was like, what if I tell you make at least 250 if you just listen to what I say and try it? And I was like, all right. And after I did that, something in me opened where I realized, oh, wait a second, I can do this. Like I was seeing a bunch of other people who were doing it.
Right.
And what was shared in that workshop were a few things I could immediately apply. And instantaneously, literally the following day, I was like, I'm going to call some people. And I created like a whole, I took my Ayurvedic services and made a program out of that.
To
start making some money.
So we started this program, but it was very much in the beginning stages. We wanted to be a little bit more sustainable, a little bit more advanced. We still were needing to make some more money, make some more moves. We actually were evicted from the basement that we were living in. So we were really freaked out. We weren't evicted because we weren't paying rent or anything.
They just needed us out to renovate it. It was like mold and all that.
And so we needed to really quickly figure some shit out. And this was literally, this was March 2020. So this was right as COVID was starting to hit. We were freaking the F out. It was like, you know, an avalanche of, oh my God, what are we going to do? And so Madhu was in touch with this coach and he did this program and it expanded his mind a little bit more. And she launched, she offered this program to him that was $27,000. And okay, let's back up to where we started. Madhu freaking out over an $18 lavender bundle. Madhu freaking out over a $250 group program. And now we're in this space of a $27,000 container. I mean, it was like absolutely unheard of. And I just remember, like, he was like, it was almost, I mean, it was so interesting because it was such a push-pull. It was like, I got so much out of this $250 program. I know that I can expand, but how could I possibly make that much money? Like,
make twice as much as I made the whole year before.
And we've tried to express where we were financially up until this point, and like you guys have kind of an idea, but like $27,000 to pay $27,000 for coaching was, yeah. I mean, what? Like, yeah. So Madhu was really back and forth. It was like, I can't do this. I don't think I can do this. He was in fetal position. I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, like my first full-blown panic attack
in fetal position on the floor, like crying, like, I'm going to sign this contract.
Because
I don't know if I should sign this contract.
Would work, but yes. I didn't know how I'd ever afford. Like, I saw the whole, like, I was like, I could see how I would learn what I need to do, but I have no idea how to make that money. And anyway.
And I was like, absolutely,
you encouraged me.
Yeah.
You're the one who said, Madhu, yeah, I didn't tell anyone else about it. And you're like, no, we have to do it. It just made sense. And somehow or other, in less than a month, I made that money back as if magically. And then that's what started. And, you know, the first year of our business, helping people with Ayurveda, with some various aspects of teaching yoga elements and mantra meditation, et cetera. We grew our business first more than 6 figures. And then I kept studying with different teachers and started studying finance and marketing and sales. And then the next year we doubled that. And then the next year we doubled that. And like that, we kept expanding until about a few years ago, where I transitioned just from helping others with their health and their mindset to now helping other expert facilitators and coaches and teachers also create sustainable businesses. Because I know how just draining and overwhelming it was for me to start from the ground up and how to actually make money doing it. And so after helping enough people, I realized it was a much better use of my time to help one person who will then go help another 40 people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, say I can work with 24 people at any given time and help them build their business. Each of those 24 people go help at mm-hmm. least another 24. So that's when I pivoted about three and a half years ago to just helping people in their businesses. And that's what got us here today, where now we're sharing Conscious Success, where I'm just trying to give anyone this information so that you can immediately take action and start to become more successful. That doesn't just mean money, but again, success means you're doing what you want to do when you want to do it. And whether you like it or not, money is a factor of living in this world. And if you want good ingredients to eat, which you better want, I'm not going to shit on you guys too much, but you should want some good food, some healthy ingredients. It takes some money. It takes some resources to do. And so throughout this podcast, really what we're talking about when we talk about conscious success, it really means not just making money, but how do we develop the character and the nature of a successful individual so that today we can be successful and then tomorrow we'll be a little bit more successful. And as opposed to creating a false idea of something we may attain one day. And all of that leads us up to the idea of practicing being successful, but from a conscious element, and literally conscious meaning from a discerning intellectual place and not just acting off our default nature, not just our reactionary nature, but actually going to a conscious, discerning intellectual space and then living life from there and then starting to develop the life of our dreams. And that's the whole purpose of this podcast and what we're going to be sharing. So some of the things that you can be expecting from our podcast are very practical tools. Not only are we going to start to go over the what of like, what is the theory? What are these topics? How do we understand them with as much clarity as possible? But a lot of the how. It's like, what are two things I could do today to, again, improve my quality of life, to make a little bit more money doing what I love, to actually improve my mindset so it doesn't, I can control my mind so it doesn't control me. How do I start to actually develop meditation? Most people say, I can't meditate. I always say, you've just tried the wrong meditation. So mm-hmm. these are the types of how or the skills or the practical things that we're going to be exploring on our podcast. And then a lot of the why or the value of like, why do we want to do these things? And how do we have a proper perspective on our value or our philosophy, which is just, in other words, our values put together and prioritized. And so these are some of the things that we are going to be exploring together. And I'm really excited for everyone to take this journey with us. And I hope to reward each and every one of you in such a way that after every podcast, when we start to give practices, things that you can apply, I don't just want you to make your life better. I want you to practice giving them to others. Anything you can use for yourself, try to give that to others. Even if it's just one person, if you can just touch one other person, that is, well, success. That's conscious success. So if you like these topics and you want to explore them deeper, I really encourage you join our free community, Conscious Success Community, where we, again, dive super deep into all of these in such a way as to understand them and apply them into our life, as well as connect with other like-minded association, people doing the types of things that we're doing together. You can join at the link in the show notes. And I sincerely hope that you guys see us there and stay tuned, because these next few episodes are going to be spicy and exciting, but more important, very practical. Can't wait to see you guys on the next episode of Conscious Success.
Bye. Keep it conscious.
So again, if you enjoy these topics and want to explore them deeper, join our Conscious Success Community, where we not only go far deeper into them, but you can connect with other like-minded individuals. You can join our Conscious Success Community at the link in our show notes below. And I really do hope to see you there.
Bye. Keep it conscious.
Keep it conscious.